For the first half hour, he refused to say anything. He refused to commit himself. Dean sat on the floor with a music box and listened with tremendous amazement to the little song it played. Little tinkling, whirling doodle bells. Ah, listen. We'll all bend down together and look into the center of the music box. Tinkly doodle bell. Whee! Carlo watched this madness with slitted eyes. Finally, he slapped his knee and said, "What is the meaning of this voyage to New York? What kind of sordid business are you on now? Whither goest thou? Whither goest thou, America, in thy shining car in the night?" We sat and didn't know what to say. There was nothing to talk about. The only thing to do was go. Taking turns at the wheel, Dean and I made Virginia in 10 hours. And he talked all night. He was out of his mind with real belief. And of course now no one can tell us that there is no God. We've passed through all forms. Everything is fine. God exists. We know time. Everything since the Greeks has been predicated wrong. You can't make it with geometry and geometrical systems of thinking. It's all this. He wrapped his finger in his fist. The car hugged the line straight and true. I moaned about life's troubles. Troubles, you see, is the generalization word for what God exists in. The thing is not to get hung up. My head rings, he cried, clasping his head. All my jail problems are pretty straight now. As far as I know, I shall never be in jail again. The rest is not my fault. You see what I mean? God exists without qualms. As we roll along this way, I am positive beyond doubt that everything will be taken care of for us. The thing will go along of itself, and you won't go off the road, and I can sleep. There was nothing clear about the things he said, but somehow what he meant to say was clear. New Year's weekend began and lasted 3 days and three nights. Great gangs got into Dean's Hudson and swerved in the snowy New York streets from party to party. When Lucille saw me with Dean and Mary Lou, her face darkened. She sensed the madness they put in me. When Lucille saw Mary Lou pushing me into the corners and giving me the word and forcing kisses on me, she accepted Dean's invitation to go out in the car. But they just talked and drank some of the southern moonshine I'd left in the compartment. Everything was being mixed up and all was falling. I didn't know what was happening to me. And then I suddenly realized that it was only the tea we were smoking. Dean had bought some in New York. It made me think that everything was about to arrive. The moment when you know all and everything is decided forever. What I wanted was to take one more magnificent trip to the West Coast and get back in time for the spring semester in school. I went along for the ride to see what Dean was going to do. The days of wrath are yet to come. The balloon won't sustain you much longer. And not only that, but it's an abstract balloon. Carlo wasn't sleeping anymore these days. "Ech!" he screamed. He was going out of his mind from the confusion of jam on the floor, pants, dresses thrown around, cigarette butts, dirty dishes, open books. It was time to go. We were all delighted. We all realized we were leaving confusion and nonsense behind. And performing our one noble function of the time. Move. And we move. We flashed past the mysterious white signs in the night somewhere in New Jersey that say south with an arrow and west with an arrow, and took the south one. New Orleans. It burned in our brains. From the dirty snows of the frosted fag town New York, as Dean called it, all the way to the greeneries and river smells of old New Orleans at the washed out bottom of America. Then west. Dean suddenly became tender. "Now, damn it, look here, all of you. We must admit that everything is fine and there's no need in the world to worry.